From the Indiana University School of Medicine and WFYI Public Radio Indianapolis, this is Sound Medicine. I'm Barbara Lewis. We begin this week with both carrots and sticks, the actions that employers are beginning to consider to hold down their healthcare costs. They range from incentives such as gym memberships to lose weight to higher premiums for employees who don't quit smoking. On the surface, they seem to make sense. But once again, Sound Medicine's healthcare policy analyst, Dr. Aaron Carroll, told me it's not quite that clear-cut.
It makes sense if your goal is to get healthier employees, but the thing is we're all coupling this to the idea that it's why insurance costs so much money or why healthcare costs so much money. And there are some predictors of what might drive the cost of healthcare. And when it comes to obesity, which is often what a lot of these things tackle, we know that downstream costs of obesity can be very high. If it leads to higher levels of heart disease, that can be very expensive. If it leads to type 2 diabetes, that can be more expensive. But a lot of those costs are borne out years down the line, not necessarily while these people are employees of the company. So it's not necessarily clear that these programs will have an actual difference on the cost of the benefits to employees the way people think they do. They may force them to lose weight, which I won't argue is a good thing. The question is, of course, whether it's really going to get at what people are trying to do, which is lower the cost of healthcare.
Okay. Well, what about smoking?
Well, again, that's an excellent point. Smoking also has a lot of downstream costs. It costs a ton of money once you get emphysema or cancer, but usually people are at a more advanced age by the time that that happens. So certainly this would be great for the Medicare population. We'll save money down the line. But if a 25-year-old smokes and is going to be at a company for 5 years, will they really see that much of a savings in the next 5 years? Probably not, which is why they don't target these kinds of things. The question is, are these decisions being made by companies, one, are they fair? And two, are they actually going to lead to the results that they want? I question the second. The first, though, is even the bigger problem, because we target the things that we as a society have determined are bad, or that we can sort of, you know, say, like smoking, most people feel pretty badly about it now. Obesity, feel pretty badly about it. But, you know, high cholesterol is not often due to diet. It's often due to something that's genetic. And so people say, well, why is it fair for us to have to pay for people that have high cholesterol? And if you're going to go down that slippery slope, then why should I as a man have to pay for a woman who's pregnant? I'm never going to get pregnant. Why should I, if I have healthy children, ever have to pay for a child who has a chronic illness that they don't have? Insurance in general is about our paying for people who have illnesses that we don't. It's in general a transfer of money from people who are healthy to people who are sick. That's how insurance works. A lot of a disease, in fact, probably the vast majority of disease, we can't control. It's capricious. It's going to hit an unknown. And so therefore, that's why we carry insurance. But some we know is going to hit some people more than others. In general, we're okay with that. We know that children with asthma are going to cost more money. We know that people who have high blood pressure are going to cost more money. We know that women who carry certain genes are more likely to get breast cancer. And if we start individually trying to rate insurance across the board for every individual factor of what might cause people to be more or less likely to be sick, we wind up with a very expensive, individualized, individually rated insurance system. It's the system we have right now for people that can't get insurance to their jobs. It's failing, and that's why we actually are trying to get away from it.
Yeah, well, how much information can an employer ask for? I mean, just height and weight, or can they demand blood pressure, glucose level?
Well, if they offer it as an incentive, they can demand whatever they like, because it becomes something for you to do. If you want to do it. And a lot of companies will go that route. But as you noted, there's a fine line between incentive and penalty. And it becomes very murky, and you can wind up actually causing your employees to get quite angry, which is not something most companies want to do either. So all of this is somewhat fraught with controversy, both at the personal level of employees who may rebel against it, at the legal level of, you know, when does it become discrimination, and even in sort of the policy level in general of just how much is it going to work.
On the same issue, but kind of a slightly different, one company, Honeywell, fines people up to $1,000 if they don't get a second opinion before having some kind of elective surgery.
You know, can they just require a second opinion in order to cover the operation?
Well, interestingly enough, I don't think they're on the wrong track. I think they're not going far enough. If you look, drill down into what they're doing, they're saying that certain surgeries for knee problems and certain surgeries for back pain, they're trying to get away from. The reason is because all the evidence shows that those surgeries don't work. They're expensive and they don't work. In fact, I think I've talked about the some of the knee surgery on the program before. They're trying to discourage people from getting those surgeries. What they're doing in this case is just raising the hurdle. They're saying, go get two opinions before you get it. Probably they need to go in further and just say, we're not going to pay for that.
Well, why fine someone for not doing it? Why fine the employee for $1,000? Why not just say, you know, hey, you have to have two opinions?
Well, you could do that, or you could say, we're just not going to pay for it at all, which is what they probably should do. And I mean, again, these are different ways to try to reform the insurance program, but one of the tenets of what's called value-based insurance is saying, we're only going to pay for stuff that actually works. In this case, they've targeted two procedures that they believe don't work. And so they're trying to just, I think, make the hurdles higher for people going to get them. In this case, they're saying, hey, if you're not going to go through all the hurdles and try to actually find doctors who will say, hey, you know what, this doesn't work, we're just going to make you pay more. It's a financial incentive. These are bad ways to get good results. I think that that's probably what I keep getting around to saying in perhaps not a clear way, is we know what we're trying to get at. We're trying to get at a healthier population. We're trying to get at people only using healthcare that is evidence-based and we know is going to work. We keep going about it in sloppy ways with either financial incentives or trying to penalize certain groups, when really what we're trying to do is just set up blanket programs and say, you know what, if we all could get healthier in general, we could probably save some money. And you know what? If we stop spending money on stuff that doesn't work, we could save a ton of money. And those are worthy goals. The question is, as always, will the actions that we're taking get us to those goals? Mm. And some of these programs, that's just not clear. We know what's wrong with the American healthcare system. It's the prices. Everything costs too much. We want to imagine somehow that there's something inherently wrong with us or something inherently wrong with the way we do things, and that's why healthcare costs so much. It's got to be because we're obese. It's got to be because we have high cholesterol. It's got to be because of some other... There has to be something wrong other than the fact that the system is terrible and that everything costs too much. And if we could just fix those things, we could get around to fixing the healthcare system. That's not what's wrong with it. What's wrong with it is that everything costs too much. And so we will keep coming up with programs to try to nip at the edges and try to fix the things that we think are the real reason what it is, ignoring the elephant in the room.
Mm-hmm. I'm slow on this, but I'm guessing if you're obese and that is a condition that might lead to diabetes, which is a chronic condition that would have to be managed for the rest of someone's life, I guess I don't see where that's not such a bad idea for the person and for the company and for healthcare and overall.
It's great. I think, as I said before, I'm totally for it from a health perspective. The problem is it will not reduce the cost of the healthcare system. If people don't have obesity, they will get sick somewhere else. The healthcare system will find a way to make a ton of money off of them regardless. And if we made everybody in the country thinner today than they are yesterday, we will still have by far the most expensive healthcare system in the world. We will still by far have tons of waste. We will still have, you know, physicians that cost too much. We'll still have nurses that cost too much. We'll still have hospitals that cost too much. We'll still have radiology that cost too much. We'll still have drugs that cost too much. It's a huge problem, a $2.5 trillion problem, and these are all $1 million solutions.
Do you see anything encouraging on the horizon? Because I think in the meantime, I think it's the employers are trying to figure out, listen, I can't change the whole healthcare system, so I'm going to do what I can with the people that I have some control over.
And I think there's an outcomes good here. As you said before, I think again, encouraging everybody to lose weight is a personal outcomes good. I think that that's worthy in and of itself. The question is, are you doing it because you want that outcomes good or because you believe, A, you're going to fix the healthcare system or because, B, you figure you're going to fix the benefits problem in your company? Mm-hmm. I think it's very unlikely to do the former. I think it's very unlikely to do the latter. I think what it is likely to do, possibly, is help people to lose weight, which is an outcomes good in and of itself. And if we were doing it for that reason, I'd be all for it. The question is, are we pejoratively penalizing some people above and beyond what they perhaps can afford or even getting them in some way to actually work? Like, we don't want to cost people, especially people at the lower end of the socioeconomic spectrum, a ton of money if we're not sure that that's actually going to work. Because if it's not going to make them thin and it's not going to reduce the benefits expense of the company and it's not going to reduce the healthcare system, all we're doing is financially penalizing them. And we're not getting any good results out of it other than perhaps to make ourselves feel better, everybody else feel better. Mm-hmm. And I don't know whether that's worth it.
Dr. Aaron Carroll, thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Aaron Carroll directs the Center for Health Policy and Professionalism Research at the IU School of Medicine. He stops by every month to keep us up to speed on the economics of healthcare.